Come on, thank our music team this morning. Amen. You may be seated, church. Are we good? All right, I think we're good. No explosions. no funny noises. All right, are you ready for the teaching this morning, church? Because it is going to be a different type of teaching. I'm not going to be sweating up here. Siobhan's looking at me like, right. Today is going to be a different type of teaching. Today's teaching is going to be a combination of three things. It is going to be simple, yet it's going to be very deep, and it's going to be fascinating to understand what I'm teaching today. So it's going to be all that wrapped up into one. Simple, yet very deep, but fascinating. And we are going to continue talking about what happened before the foundation of the world, as we did last week with the Trinity. What happened in eternity past? And what we are going to talk about today, I think that it is going to help us understand God in a greater way, understand man and even male and female, and why male and female. So let me ask you, does everybody have their thinking caps on today? That was not very convincing for me, because you're going to have to think. Do you have your thinking caps on today? Because, listen, you're going to have to follow me closely. So let's focus and get your brains working. Amen? And let's begin. I hear people ask this question all the time. And the question they asked is, if God is omniscient and omnipresent, if God is omnipotent, if he's an all-sufficient being, if he's totally fulfilled in himself, if God is complete within himself, then why did he create man? I hear people ask that all the time. You know, outside the church that are exploring about God. That if he's all that, if God is all that, why did he create man? Now, first of all, before I get into that, let me define for you the word man. The word man is not referring to male and female. It is referring, church, to the spirit being. Man is the name that God gave to the spirit being. If we break down Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27, if you could put that up, Loretta. If we're going to break that down in the Hebrew, when God got ready to create mankind, God didn't speak to the earth to create mankind like he did for plants and animals. When God created plants and animals, he spoke to the earth. He didn't speak to the earth. When God created the stars, he spoke to the sky. But when God created man, he didn't speak to the sky. No, when God got ready to create man, listen, he spoke to himself. Watch this. It says, then God said, let us, he's speaking to himself, let us, the Son, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, he's speaking to himself, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. In verse 27, it says, so God created man. The word man in the Hebrew means spirit being. So God created a spirit being, which he called man. And because God is spirit, God is a spirit, that which came forth from him when he spoke to himself was also spirit. And then it says he made from the dust of the earth physical houses, male and female bodies for them to dwell in. Genesis 1, 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. You see that? In the image of God created he him. The entire species, listen, is called man, and he refers to the species as him. Then he says, watch, male and female, he created he them. So he says the species man, come on, I'm giving you some great theology today. He said the species man, him, comes in two models, them, the male model and the female model. You see that? But the species is called man. God took the spirit man and placed him in two physical forms, male and female. And he did that, listen, to fulfill his own eternal purposes. God used two physical forms called male and female to express one entity of man. In the Bible, when God is speaking to humanity, what term does he use? He uses the term man. He doesn't address the male or female unless he is talking to individuals. Instead, he talks to the man, listen, within both of them. He addresses the spirit man. When God deals with people, he deals with their spirits. Look at Genesis 5, verses 1 to 2. Genesis 5, verses 1 to 2 says, when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them. See, when they were created, he called them man. Now, who did God call man? Both male and female. The presence of the spirit man within us is why the Bible says all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, rather than male or female. It says all men. Romans 5:12 says death came to all men because all sinned. The word men in this verse in the Greek is the word anthropos, which means human spirit beings. So man is the name God gave to the spirit being. Jeanette is man. Siobhan is man. I am man. You understand? Man is the name God gave to the spirit species. The spirit being inside all these bodies in this room is called man. So the question is, why did God create man? And when you can answer that question, it will help you understand how male and female work. Now, the first thing you need to know about God, church, and the two things that the Apostle John emphasizes so much in his writings, is that one, in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. And in 1 John 4, God is love. If you read 1 John 4, the whole chapter just expands on the theme of love and that God is love. As we said last week, it never says God has love. That doesn't exist in the scriptures. It always says God is love, and that anyone that is of God is automatically love also. So God is spirit, and God is love. If God is love, oh God help me, I'm going to use a human term that shouldn't even be addressed to God, but I've got to use, help me Lord, human terms or concepts to help us understand. So forgive me right away. God being love, or because God is love, oh help me Lord, His problem, well, let me not say problem because God's not supposed to have any problems. let me say, challenge. God's challenge was that number one, he is a spirit. And number two, he is love. And that creates a challenge. Why? Because love cannot dwell alone. Because the nature of love makes it impossible for love to dwell by itself. Why? Because love has to give in order to fulfill itself. Now, this becomes a challenge, church. Because do you know that there was a time when there was nothing except God? Because everything that is was created by God or came out of God. So that means before anything ever came out of him, or before he ever created anything, watch, God was by himself, alone. Alone in the scripture doesn't mean lonely. It means all one or all in one. God was by himself, alone, all one, all in one. Now, I want you to picture this. God standing on nothing, on the corner of nowhere, talking to no one except himself. Because there was no one to talk to. And the problem, I'm sorry, the challenge is, here is this God. Now, whatever name you want to call him, Elohim, El Shaddai, Jehovah, Adonai, Ancient of Days, whatever you want to call him, this awesome, majestic, powerful God who revealed himself through the word he spoke to great men and prophets, this God, now watch, go back behind all those prophets, go back behind Adam, go back behind the universe, go back behind when heaven didn't even exist, the invisible world, even go back behind the Trinity when there was just God. Problem, challenge. God is love and God is alone, all in one. And love has to give. I mean, you can't be love and have nothing that exists that you can love. Can we go back this far? Because listen, it's going to help you understand you and how to relate to other humans. So God doesn't have love. He is love. And if God is love, if God is the very thing itself, if he is the substance, if his DNA is love, and then God is not happy. Forgive my words. He's unfulfilled. Forgive my words again. Come on, don't write me no emails and say I said God was unhappy. All right? I'm trying to explain to you in human terms the essence of love and what was going on here. I don't have other terms to explain it. So don't write me no emails. The essence of love is that if you are love, you have to love. You have to give to something. And the challenge is that God is by himself. He is alone. He is all in one. So God is not fulfilled. Forgive me again. Because I have no other way in my human vocabulary to explain and help you understand how God was feeling. Because the giver needs a receiver. Oh, God, help me. God is love, and he needs someone to love in order for him to be fulfilled. Because love can't dwell alone. You can't say you are our love if you don't love something. Now, I believe that is why God who is alone, all in one, God who is one, I believe that's why he decided to make himself three expressions, because he needed to share. See, love has to share. Love has to give itself. And if you are the only self that is, you got to find someone to share with. So God decided through his own sovereign initiative to produce a dimension, a triunity, so that God could love something. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus said, the Father loved me first. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit, because the Spirit of love was part of this triunity, as we said last week, part of this circle of love, part of the circle dance. So the Father loved the Son and the Spirit. The Son loved the Spirit and the Father. The Spirit loved the Father and the Son. When Jesus was on earth, one of the things he said was, Father, let me have the glory I had with you before this whole thing ever started. Let's go way back. I want to feel that love again between me and you. The first thing the omnipotent God was able to love was himself. Oh my God. Was himself. And the object of that love, listen, was his word. God spoke love, and then love came out. And that love God spoke was the word. Watch this. Watch this. Before Jesus was Jesus, he was the word. The Bible calls him the word that became flesh. Now some of you, some of you don't think that's in the Bible. But I'm going to show you, all right? Come on, take a deep breath with me. Please, because it's going to get very deep. You're about to find out from the Bible why God created you and what motivated him to create you. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. Are you with me? Is it too deep for you? I'm going to get you now then. Simple, deep, yet fascinating. Proverbs chapter 8. The first thing that God produced out of himself as an object of love was his word. If you look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, John goes way back, and look how he describes the Trinity. Watch this. He says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, watch, the Word. He don't even call him the Son. He says the Word. He went way back. And the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, let me say this before we read Proverbs 8, before we read this fascinating text. Church, what is revelation? Revelation is information that God has. Revelation is his mind. When God lets you see or understand his thoughts, or he opens your eyes to the meaning of something, or he lets you see through a different lens something more clearly. That's revelation. You just received revelation. Now, what is understanding? Understanding is comprehension of the revelation. When you comprehend something, when you're able to assimilate it into your own system, that's understanding. What is wisdom? Wisdom is application. When God speaks, it's revelation. When you comprehend it, it's understanding. When it is applied, it is called wisdom. So wisdom is the word of God, not just spoken, but in action, being applied. Wisdom. And this passage in Proverbs, listen, somebody named Wisdom is talking here. Now let's read the portion of Proverbs 8 with that in mind. And see, what is this wisdom that is speaking here? Now, this portion of scripture is about Jesus before he was Jesus. Some of you are wondering, did Jesus exist before he was manifested in the flesh? This portion of scripture answers that question. It also tells you where he was, what he was doing, and it tells you what his name was. Everything is right here about Jesus before he became Jesus. This is the original state of Jesus. Let's read verse 22. Listen carefully. Whoever's talking here says, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works." Now, whoever this is that is speaking is telling you that I am the first one that came out of him. So you're about to be introduced, church, to the first thing that God released from his own spirit. You and I are not the first. The word brought forth here is the same word, the word brought forth is the same word the King James uses when it says Jesus was the only begotten son. Begotten is an old English word that means to release or to release from. And the NIV here says brought forth. So he's saying, I am the first of his works that he released. I'm the first that he worked on. Verse 22, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. He says, as far back as you can go, I'm behind that. The oldest deed that you know about, it was long before the oldest deed. I pre-exist heaven, and heaven is invisible. And heaven existed before the material earth. So the invisible world is behind the physical world, but he says, I'm behind all that, the invisible world. I was before the oldest thing he made. Verse 23, I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began, or even before the world was in his mind. Now, who is this talking? 24, when there was no oceans, I was given birth or begotten. God birthed something out of himself. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Who is this man? Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place. I was there means I was working with him. I was part of the constructing of it all. Lord, have mercy. I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. Now, this is wisdom talking, but it's Jesus before he was Jesus. Verse 28, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side. Who is this? This is wisdom. This is the word. This is what came out of God. This takes us directly, church, to John 1. In the beginning was the what? Word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. You see it? He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, without the word, nothing was made that had been made. Do you see it? He says back in Proverbs, I was the craftsman. God would speak, let there be light, and I would go out of his mouth and make light. Verse 30, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in the whole world and delighting in mankind. Now I'm going to have to do a little hermeneutical work here. Some interpretive work from the Hebrew. Because I want you to read verse 30 and 31. I want to read it from the King James. Can you put that up there? I didn't give that to Loretta. Well, we won't read it. I'm just going to tell you what it means. Because the King James says it a little bit differently. What this statement means in the Hebrew context, NIV, King James, it means this in the Hebrew context. It means when I was making all these things with my father, I brought delight to him. Delight means pleasure. I made the Father. Now the word Father means source. So when he released me, the source got excited about what the word was doing, and he made the source happy. Come on, you got to listen. The source became pleasured in the activity of the word, and it says he delighted in mankind. The original Hebrew says he delighted in making him. Now let me explain. He got so excited, the father got so excited about the word, what he released. He got so excited that he decided he wanted to make more just like him. He became so happy, the father, watch, about the first release, about what the first release looked like and what the first release was doing. He was so active creating stuff, he therefore delighted in the idea of making more like him in his image. In other words, the motivation to create man came from the word active. When the word became the wisdom of God, God says, I want more wisdoms. That's why we're tied way back here. Way back there. He says, before anything was, I am. And when the Father saw me and what I was doing, he decided way back there to have us. So the motivation for the creation of humanity is that God wanted and God desired more sons to love. The motivation of your creation was the activity and the presence and the joy of the word. We call him Jesus today, but back then he is called wisdom. Because that whole chapter is about this person called wisdom. And it was that far back that the Father decided, I want plenty of them who look just like him. Oh, you're going to make me shout. He says, I want millions of them around me. And I want to love them all. And I want them, watch, I want them to do the same thing he is doing. Watch this. What is he doing? He is creating things. Listen to me, church. Nothing gives God more pleasure or more delight than when you become creative. When you take something that is without form and void and there's darkness and you create and you bring light, heaven gets excited. The Father claps, that's my kids. Creating, that's my kids. Creating where there is void, bringing light to darkness, bringing order to chaos, bringing some heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Another word for dominion, which is the Genesis mandate to man, another word for dominion or to have dominion, it means, watch, it means to keep creating, to bring order to chaos. That's our mandate. Part of the mandate also says to subdue the earth. Subdue means to create, to shape or reshape something with the character of God. So God decides that he needs others to receive his love and his delight and his pleasure because, watch, because loving himself, I hate to say it like this, loving himself was not fulfillment for him. Forgive me. I'm trying to think of another way to say it. I can't. Now, watch. This creates another challenge, problem. Because the receiver of love has to be exactly like the giver. Watch. In order for giving to be complete, the giver and the receiver have to be the same. That's why, church, there isn't one reference in Scripture to God loving his angels. God doesn't love cherubims and seraphims. He doesn't love creation. The Bible never says God loves trees or animals or fish or birds. It doesn't exist in the Bible. Why? Because you can only love that which is like you. And angels are not made in God's image. None of the creation is made in God's image. Now, all those things, watch, they reflect and declare God's glory, but only man is made in the image of God. So, God has to love somebody because he is love. And there is nobody like himself, and himself consists of three expressions, the Father, the Word, or the Son, and the Spirit, in this circle of love, in this circle dance, as we said last week. And the only way for God to fulfill his love was to expand the circle. And in order to do that, he needed something or someone just like him. And so we find these beautiful words, let us make man in our image. See, God is about to create a being just like him. Now who's him? His first him is the model he's using, the Word, the wisdom. Hebrews 1:3 in the King James, talking about the Son, talking about the Word, the wisdom. He says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's the model he's using. The NIV says the exact representation of his being. The Word, this man that we call Jesus in the flesh. He is really the express image of the invisible God. So he is the image of God. So man was made in what? The image of God. So God had to use a model to produce this species called man that he's going to lavish his love on, and therefore he uses the image, the nature, the characteristics, the qualities of Yeshua, Jesus, the Word, the wisdom to create you. That was his model. Now, as we said, God is spirit. God is eternal. God is love, and love has to give. So he's a giver. And God is Father. He is the source. Now, what is man? Man is spirit. Man is eternal because spirits cannot die. But now here's where we get off now, because man came out of God. God is love, and God, who is the source, now has someone to give to, because love has to give. So the man becomes the receiver. So the purpose why God was motivated to make man the spirit being is because God wanted somebody to receive his love. You and I are receivers as a spirit being. The only reason God made you was to love you. It's the only reason. God wanted to shoot his love gun, and he had no target. So he created you. And all he wanted to do all eternity, church, was go pow, pow, getting hit by love. Pow, pow, pow. Hit, pow. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, it says it was in love that he predestined us to be adopted as the children of God. Love gun. Now, watch. Now, if all he made us for was his love, how in the world could you think he would want to harm you? Or that he's out to get you? Or that he's touchy or finicky or easily offended by your shortcomings and inadequacies? There's nothing you can do to make God love you. Why? Because he can do nothing else. Because that's the reason you exist. That's why he says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Get that down in your spirit, church. See, you think God likes you because you do good things. He likes you because he decided he only wanted one thing to love, and that's you. No angel competes with you. No majestic mountain, no river, no planet in the history of the universe could compete with you. You are it. The Bible never says, for God felt sorry for the world. He's not sorry for you, church. He can't help himself. The Bible says he's in love with the backslider. I used to read that and say, that ain't fair, God. Because I'm working hard, God. I'm doing good things. That ain't fair. You love the backslider just like me? Till I understood this. Whether you're sliding back or sliding forward or sliding sideways, if you are man, you are the target. David said, look what David said. David said, if I make my bed where? In hell, your love still finds me in hell. That's why love, God's love has no conditions. God poured himself out and created man. Ooh, now God is excited, church. Because he has a being just like himself. And man was created to be a receiver. So when we go back to Genesis to look at this creation of man, God blew into that body a spirit that is eternal, that is love, that is a receiver, and that is a resource to God. Now think about that list. Who is happy? God is happy, and man too, of course. Because man has someone to relate to. So watch. So spiritually, they are both completely happy. In that particular relationship, you need nothing. Everything is complete. God has a lover. The lover has a giver. The giver has a receiver and a responder. So you have completeness. Problem. Another problem. challenge, another challenge. The challenge is God took the man, the spirit species, and put him in a body. Now, I'm going to make a statement. Let me see from what I said before if you understand this. When God put the man in the male house, God created the same problem he had. You see it? You don't get it. God created the same problem he had. Challenge. So you got this man inside a male body, and now we got love trapped in a body alone. God produced in the male what he had in himself. Now God's happy. He has man. They that worship God must worship in spirit, in the same class as God, spirit. So God is happy. That's why God don't really deal with males or females. That's flesh, that's dirt. God deals with the man on the inside of the male and the female. But God did this second thing. He put this spirit being in a dirt body, and he called the first body male. Now we got love trapped in one body. Now let me prove to you that God realized that he created the same challenge. How do I know? Because God said, almost like an afterthought, it is not good. Now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute, church. Come on, think. Now, God should have known that before. No, somehow, I say it like this, somehow God got caught. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know how to explain that. But he said, it's not good. Which means that he recognized, wait a minute, that's not good. Why? How does God know it ain't good? Because he experienced it. Because love has to share. Now this is the origin of relationships and how they evolve. So God says, it is not good for man to be alone, all one, all in one. He couldn't have been lonely. He had God, spirit to spirit. It's not good for man to be all one, as God said to himself. God says it ain't good for all this love to be in one body. Because the man has a problem. The man as a spirit has no problem. But when he put him in this male body, now love is trapped. And some wonder why the Bible never tells a woman to love a man. Never. You got to go back to the origin of relationship. The male is the one who contains the source of love. He is the first one to be filled with it. So God says it's not good for this male man to be all in one. Why isn't it good? Because love has to give to something. And the problem is the giver and the receiver have to be exactly the same. God knew this wasn't going to work. So what's he do? He has Adam name all of the animals. And Adam names them all and finds no suitable helper. That means no one like him. So you can name all the animals, but you can't love them because they got to be like you. So then what did God do? Church, watch this. What did God do? The same thing that God did to himself, he had to do to the man. How did God get what he wanted to love? He went inside himself so that it could be, so it could be exactly like the giver. You see that? So what's he going to do to Adam? The word rib in the Hebrew means peace. God took a piece of the male. God went inside, like he went inside himself, and took a piece. You know, God is the first person to clone. That's why God didn't need to go back to the soil. Watch this, watch. Because if God had gone back to the soil and formed the body, you would not have a receiver, because it would have been a different human body. To get an exact replica, you must use the original material. I didn't think you were going to shout today, but you're shouting. Just like God did to get man, he's going to do the same thing to get woman, because he wants her to be a receiver. Now watch this. Watch this. So God went inside the man and he pulled out another man. Now, there are different Hebrew words used in Genesis 2. Genesis 2, 7, it says the Lord formed the man. That means he carved the man. That's the male body. In the same chapter, verse 22, it says God made, it means built the woman. Two completely different Hebrew words. The female was not formed. Now, that's important. Because the male was the original stock, the original form. So what God pinched a piece off and multiplied the cells. See, that's what you do when you're cloning. You pinch a piece off, you multiply the cells, you build it from a cell, and you keep multiplying. So God built the woman, and the female was built. So therefore, because he built her, God could make the adjustments for reception. You got it? So he's building this thing. He says, okay, the male has a penis. I can say that, right? So she needs a vagina. She's the receiver. He is making, watch, the adjustments for reception. Oh, come on. Come on, we're adults in here. You better stop looking at me like I said something wrong. We're adults. That's exactly what he did. She's the receiver. He looked at the male. You got this. I got to give her this. Okay, he's got some sperm. She needs breast. God built the female. The male he just formed. The female he built. Watch. Women were designed, watch, just to receive. Do you know, men, that's the secret of a woman? No, you don't know that because you're looking stupid at me. You don't know that at all. Women were designed to receive. That is the secret of a woman. Let me just close quickly. I'm going to get you all. I got you too stimulated now. Let me make this point about male and female as it pertains to the origin of relationships. The same way man was created by God just to love, a female was created from the man just to love. Just like man was created by God just to receive, the female was created from the male just to receive. If you don't get this, you're going to have horrible relationships all your life. Because we've gone over many of the differences between male and female, but it won't amount to a hill of beans if you don't understand this, that the female is a receiver. Just like man exists to receive from God, the female exists to receive from the male in that particular relationship. That's why, church, many times when a woman gets something, she works, she gets paid, she said, that ain't yours. Wait, she still wants yours, but that ain't yours. The woman will tell you what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. She's a receiver. Woman, what do you want?
Everything.
Everything. Listen, church, it ain't sick. It's not abnormal. It's built in. They ain't sick. They're normal. This is not strange. This is natural. Watch. When you study a male's body, there is nothing in it to receive. There's no, I can't receive. And the woman come, I have come to receive. You know, she's singing. Listen, some of you women don't understand the male either. Because the male is designed by God to give. So when you don't let him give you something, you shut him down. You go, I've got everything. I don't need nothing from you. I got my car, my business. You shut him down. I gotta quit. Come on back, Bob. Let me say this to close. I gave you enough today. Watch this, though. Watch, church. When it comes to love between a male and a female, you've got to understand this built-in giver-receiver mechanism that goes all the way back to the beginning. Amen? The origin of relationships, church, all the way back before the foundation of the world. Simple, yet deep, but fascinating. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, give God praise this morning. Come on, stand to your feet. We're going to close in song. We've had a wonderful Sunday. God bless you this morning. Please remember, buy your tickets to the music festival and dinner. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.